feeling a little burned out.
A little burned out? No, I'm kidding. Well, that is interesting because on this episode, we're talking about managing employee burnout. We've done a few episodes on burnout from the kind of small business owner and entrepreneurial standpoint, but we have not done it on employees. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, dealing with burnout.
Yeah, it's I find it hard to identify sometimes with my employees. Oh, I'm sorry, my microphone. Sorry. No discipline.
On the microphone.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I said I find it sometimes hard to identify with my employees. Like, it's hard for me to see it because I'm just go, go, go all the time.
Yeah.
And I have high expectations.
Yep.
And when they don't get something done, you know, I wonder why. And it might be because they're a little burned out or they've got been, you know, I've been piling too much stuff on them.
It can be extremely hard to spot burnout on your employees, especially when you are just working your butt off. You know, I work 60-hour weeks, something like that, trying to get stuff going. And that's because it's my business and I really care about it. But my employees, I think they care about it, but they're here just to get a paycheck. They're here to do a job. They might like that job and they might care about it, but it's not everything to them like it is to business owners. So it's hard to translate our work ethic onto employees. And sometimes I think we try to.
There's a thing on Facebook that I've been watching, catching called Subway Takes.
Mm-hmm.
And one, the guy, the host, I guess, basically sits down next to someone on the subway and says, "What's your take?"
Mm-hmm.
And so one guy the other day, he goes, "Employers should just be mean to me." He goes, I would prefer if they just be mean to me. It's honest. It's just a transaction. You know, I'm here to work. If they like my work, they don't have to tell me they like my work. They can just keep paying me. That tells me they like my work enough for me to keep being here.
Well, that is certainly a hot take for the Subway takes. And counter to what we're going to say today.
So I was thinking about that when he said that, right? In the terms of burnout, right? I was thinking the guy was like, if that was like my totally honest experience, right, then I would just do my work, go home, and I'm not going to be burned out. Yeah. You know, I don't have to worry about it. I never worry about work.
Well, there you go. Maybe you should tailor some of our suggestions then to individual employees. So if you hire a psycho like that guy, then you know you can be mean to him.
Yeah.
Well, in this episode, we're going to first define burnout. Then we're going to talk about how you identify it, how you communicate burnout, steps to mitigate, and then what happens eventually when burnout does kind of rear its head. Because it's going to be impossible to mitigate, so you need to know what to do.
I'm Scott Hess, tax and business consultant.
I'm John Barton, small business owner. Remember the tortoise and the hare? Slow and steady wins the race.
We started Turtlesmith to help people start small businesses, providing information and resources to small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Build a solid foundation and forge your dreams.
So, defining burnout. Job burnout is basically chronic stress linked to work. So it's characterized by physical or emotional exhaustion, cynicism or feelings of removal, and a sense of feeling useless, powerless, or empty. So small businesses demand a lot of their employees, especially during the peak holiday seasons, which I think a lot of retail workers are dealing with now. Long hours, unpredictable schedules, and just the kind of intense pressure that sales put on people. So retail burnout is a kind of a very specific form of distress that impacts employees who have to regulate their emotions. And I didn't really realize this, but kind of the emotional burnout that retail workers have to deal with is staggering. When we were doing research for this and I was looking into it, it's exhausting what they have to deal with, getting yelled at by employees, dealing with crazy customers. I mean, I don't know how you deal with it in your business.
Well, I just,
fortunately, I have mostly sane clients, but
I just told you earlier, you know, that I gave a masterclass on how not to deal with a problem customer. Guy, literally, I made a mistake on the website and turned off the cheap shipping option for small packages, and so the guy gets on there to order a small thing and sees that the lowest shipping is $23.
Mm-hmm.
So we never would ever charge anybody that for this particular size package. if someone ordered it and it came in at that, we would realize the mistake and we would say to the customer, hey, man, sorry, we charged you, you know, for this. We'll refund the difference. This guy, instead of ordering, sends an email and says, you know what? For $23, you guys can F yourselves. And not only that, I'm going to sell your defective product and I'm going to tell everybody how bad it is and how you try to rape your customers.
Good Lord.
That was the message, right? So I responded in kind, which, by the way, you guys should not do. Okay, let's be clear about that, right? But I responded in kind, and I was like, I have my employees back on that because I don't think they should be subjected to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are employees, absolutely, who are subjected to that and worse face-to-face in a retail setting. This was an email.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I've seen people get on the phone with my employees and really be very unkind to them. And then when I get on the phone, their whole demeanor changes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's interesting how that happens. And I tell everybody who works for me that I don't pay you enough to get yelled at. So if you're getting yelled at, just tell them to leave or pass them on to me.
Yeah. Like same thing.
So the term kind of emotional labor is really used when we talk about retail burnout, and that's the effort or the work of managing or regulating your emotions. So when they deal with these kind of crazy customers, they have to, you know, keep a positive attitude, smile, say, you know, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and try to move on. And that can take an emotional toll. So it's very important to be looking out for that kind of emotional labor burnout.
So basically give your employees like one firing of a customer per day.
There you go. Yeah, not a bad idea. So addressing employee burnout is kind of overlooked by a lot of business owners, but it needs to be a part of their core kind of operational strategy. Employee turnover due to burnout has pretty severe financial consequences for businesses. Studies show that the cost of replacing a single employee can be as high as 50 to 60% of that employee's annual salary when you factor in recruitment costs, onboarding costs, training costs, and the loss of productivity. So even without burnout, exhausted and disengaged employees, they exhibit poor focus, make mistakes, and become disengaged from work, you know, sitting on their phone or honestly just doing nothing. So if you have a burnt out employee, they're not getting anything done.
100%. Yeah, I've seen it.
So how do we detect burnout? So small businesses must be on the lookout for the signs of burnout in their employees kind of early. Managers need to look for behavioral changes and monitor metrics. So what are the observable signs? So the first one is physical exhaustion, you know, chronic fatigue, appearing exhausted, increased absenteeism or tardiness. Employees can also complain sometimes of headaches or stomach issues without any real known cause. That's a physical kind of manifestation of that exhaustion. Signs of cynicism or withdrawal. Employees start to lose patience with certain tasks or treat customers poorly. That's why I asked if you were having a little burnout after your rant today on that customer. They can have increased conflict with team members or just general kind of disengagement. When an employee is no longer enjoying work or acting respectfully, this is kind of an early warning sign. And, you know, not everybody enjoys their job, but most people tolerate it with good humor. And if that kind of wanes, you think they might be withdrawing a little. And then signs of reduced efficacy. So employee can doubt their skills and abilities. They ask more questions with stuff that they kind of already know. Their performance might start to decline. Difficulty focusing, procrastination, frequent mistakes. These are all kind of noticeable signs of burnout, exhaustion, withdrawal, and poor performance. So you can track performance, track their attendance. Obviously, you should be doing that anyway. Managers should be monitoring sick leave and punctuality. And it's also really important to monitor overtime. Make sure you're not forcing too much overtime on one employee. The interaction data you can look at, customer complaints and feedback, conflicts with workers. If you're having to mediate a lot of issues, that's a problem. It can be an early warning sign. And then the performance metrics. You want to track your errors and your KPIs, key performance indicators on employees, as best you can. So it really all comes down to just paying attention to your employees' output and attitude. Are they performing at the level you expect? Is their attitude good? And if these start to slip, these may be signs that your employee is experiencing burnout.
This is where a really good manager is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a good manager. I am very emotional. You know, I probably have too high of expectations. So I would say that the way that I sometimes interact with employees can contribute to burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a good manager can know what to look for, know how to mitigate it, know how to adjust for it. This is where maybe an owner of a business, you know, needs to separate themselves with a little bit more distance and realize that, like we just talked about, the employees are there primarily because they have to be there. They need work. They need, you know, to survive. So whether they enjoy it or they don't, the owner of the business, you know, is not going to be there for the same reason that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore it's very difficult to look at the work and the experience from the same level and the same perspective.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, even if you're a good manager, you can miss these signs. I like to think I'm an okay manager, but when I get into the dog days of tax season, you know, and I myself am burnt out, I really have to have notes for myself and kind of procedures to make sure I'm checking in with all the people working for me and making sure that they're not getting burnt out. Because I'm burnt out, sometimes my focus is slipping. So we kind of have a good system where I make sure to check in with Tiffany, and Tiffany checks in with everybody during tax season and trying to just mitigate it or look out for signs. But it's hard, you know, as a business owner, because you're working all the time and it's hard. You know, if you're doing it, why aren't your employees doing it?
One of my bosses, you know, he was a former customer of mine, but then I went to work for him. He did something kind of cool. You know, every once in a while he would just be like, okay, just turn the phones off. We're all going out for ice cream and stuff like that.
Little things like that are a great way to help. Communicating burnout is what we need to talk about next. So once you suspect an employee is experiencing burnout, you need to carefully consider how to approach that conversation. So while we talked a little bit about how burnout occurs due to work, it can sometimes come from outside work as well. So employees have a whole life outside of work, and that can sometimes add to the feelings of burnout. So when talking to your employees, the goal is to kind of open a dialogue and not present a diagnosis or prove a case. So managers should approach the discussion with genuine concern for the employee's mental health and personhood. Again, we only know a little bit about what's going on in our employees' or coworkers' lives. One of the recommended strategies is the one symptom approach. And I've actually used this before, but you just want to discuss one specific observed symptom relating to the job that has caused concern. So frame that observation as care for them personally, and not just a focus on job performance. This works well because the employee won't feel overwhelmed if you attack them with like a large list of things that they've done wrong. They'll be more open to discussion rather than the need to be defensive, which happens a lot when I try to or business owners or managers, they try to talk to employees and they start hitting them with like, why were you late 3 times this week and your performance is slipping and all that stuff. The employee can feel defensive.
Yeah, well, again, you know, a good owner or a good manager, that's something that they need to be empathetic to.
Mm-hmm.
And paying attention to. But I find, you know, if you are the kind of person that is reactive, you know, then either you need to work on yourself and become a kind of person that can see that, or you really need to have somebody as a buffer that can do it for you.
Yeah, hiring a good buffer is necessary for a lot of owners.
Because sometimes, you know, it's not that I don't care, for example. It's that I've got so many things going on and I've got so many people pulling on me that I don't have the time to deal with everyone else's problems,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I really am the kind of person who's like, I want to solve everyone's problems if they're able to corner me and tell me about it. But that then leads to more stress when I'm neglecting something else.
Yep.
So you really do need you know, to remember that to be a team, it's a team effort, and you got to have people on your team that can help those people who are struggling.
Yep.
You know, and it's a difficult one sometimes because, you know, you do know that people have lives and things happen outside their lives, and it's not something where they can just park all their emotions at the door when they come in. You know, that's what I was always told when I was waiting tables. No matter what happened, you know, otherwise, put on a smile and perform for the customer.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you make the tips. That's how you, you know, have a good shift. Yeah. But it's not always possible.
And that can lead to a lot of emotional exhaustion.
Of course. It really does make you feel sometimes like you're a dancing monkey.
Yeah. Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head, which is we don't always know what's going on in our employees' lives, and they might have factors outside that are contributing to the burnout. So that's why that one symptom approach really works. A good example that you can use is like, hey, I noticed you seemed particularly overwhelmed during the closing shift yesterday. I just wanted to check in, make sure everything was going okay. And that kind of opens the dialogue with just one work-related issue, rather than saying something like, hey, you've been doing crappy lately, what's your problem? You know. So next thing we're going to be talking about is how to mitigate burnout. So business owners need to be preventative in their burnout mitigation, not reactive. It happens a lot where business owners kind of get too focused and they just are reacting to things happening around them. They're not planning ahead, or they're not being preventative in their measures. So one of the biggest kind of drivers of burnout is scheduling issues. So to mitigate burnout here, try to have flexible and predictable scheduling as much as possible. It's impossible to create a perfect schedule, but there's some things you can do to help mitigate the problem and provide your employees some flexibility and autonomy. So one of the most important ones is schedule well in advance. Too many companies have their schedules out like a week ahead of time or days ahead of time, or they're making changes like the night before. This can cause a lot of employee.
Oh, it will cause a lot of anxiety. Yeah. You know.
Introduce a good shift swapping system if possible. There's a lot of great programs, scheduling programs that allow the employees to swap shifts and stuff like that, so they can take care of personal things. Standard procedures for requesting time off and actually approving time off requests. I think too many times business owners are denying those. Allow your people some time off. And then basic workforce analytics. There's a lot of great software, payroll programs that can track all the metrics that you need. Make sure you're not scheduling people, you know, closing and opening shifts are really annoying to some people. Making them work too many overtime hours, those kind of things. The next one is the workload and management delegation. This is where, just as an owner or a manager, you need to be very thoughtful about which employees you're delegating work to and how much. It can become very easy to over-rely on some of your key workers and people who are the highest performers and trying to delegate way too much to them and burning them out. So monitor your employee activity and overtime. Delegate according to skills and ability. Set clear and tangible expectations, reasonable timelines and goals, and allow employees to make decisions as much as possible. Allowing them a little bit of autonomy when they make decisions is important. You know, allow them to organize things in a certain way, manage specific inventory, gives the employees kind of a level of control, which can be very hard for business owners to do.
Well, that's something, for example, that, you know, I talk a lot about 2-second lean with Paul Akers. Mm-hmm. He does that. He asks him, he says, look, just see if you can make just a 2-second improvement in the process.
Yep.
And that creates some pride of ownership over the process that they're doing. And,
yep,
you know, they have a morning meeting every morning and people step up and they say, hey, I did this yesterday. This, you know, took 5 seconds off this process, or,
yeah,
you know, or now we don't have carpal tunnel because we're not reaching in this way instead of that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. That book, 2-Second Lean, I think I've learned more from than most of my college textbooks. Allow your employees to rest is the next one. Make sure your employees have regular time off. Force them if you've had to. I've had to force one of my employees to take time off because they refuse, and I know they're burnt out. Allow for small breaks throughout the day, 10-minute coffee break, 5 minutes during, you know, 5 minutes for to stretch the legs during a long meeting. Consider a walk for a one-on-one meeting instead of a formal office meeting. You know, walk around the facility, walk around the neighborhood to kind of have a quick conversation rather than just sitting. It helps reduce stress.
I was at Zappos in Las Vegas, and they offer tours, you know, their Zappos way and everything. They literally have like stress pods you can go get into. Yep. You know, they have these sensory deprivation kind of pods you can get into, and then they have like literally a ball pit. You can go dive into the ball pit and stuff and play with, and you can play with toys and stuff, you know. And the employees actually take advantage of that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that is one way that they literally manage burnout, because they, at least back then, they were a very high intensity e-commerce, you know. And so when people are at their desk or at their cubicle or whatever, they are working.
Yeah, you see a lot of that in little tech companies where they have kind of all these little like toys and games and like slides in their office. And it does help. I mean, not every small business can afford stuff like that. But if you just have a little something, have a punching bag somewhere where people can just punch Karen's face that yelled at them or something. You know?
I wouldn't say her face, but my face was definitely one that they would want to punch.
Fair.
But that is a good idea, actually. You know, anything that can help take stress out, you know, you could put a like a, you know, problem customers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So next one is create feedback loops. So employees will not let you know they're burning out unless you create an environment that allows for that kind of open dialogue. So open door policy, suggestion boxes, structured kind of check-ins. I have to do that a lot where I check in with everybody. Otherwise, I forget they exist sometimes.
They don't want to be told they're weak or they should just suck it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and then ask questions of your employees to kind of create that open dialogue, you know. Ask them what you can do better as a boss or a manager. Ask them what you can do to make their job easier. You know, how do you feel about your role as the company? Do you want more responsibility? Do you have too much? You just want to try to be, as a manager or owner, somewhat easy to talk to. If they're afraid to talk to you, then they will not let you know that burnout is happening and productivity will tank. And the last one is recognize and appreciate. And you want to do something more than kind of the meme of a pizza party. It seems like a lot of businesses are, we'll have a pizza party if we get through this really hard time. And I think employees, they just know that that doesn't mean much, you know, to the big business they're working for. So you can do a lot of low cost formal recognition, you know, employee of the month, annual review shout outs, birthday celebration, even just honestly saying, you know, good job today on this particular project that you worked on. Those kind of formal recognitions mean a lot to employees. Peer-to-peer recognition, you know, encourages team cohesion, allow employees to shout out their peers at meetings, have peers nominate each other for small rewards like an extra day off or a small gift or something. And then the last one would be monetary or non-monetary rewards. So money is always a driving force for all of your employees. If you can afford it in the budget, definitely try to offer bonuses where possible, especially if they're connected to performance or, you know, some kind of goal. And if you can't afford it, there's all kinds of like little non-monetary or low-cost options available. Even a $10 gift card to like Starbucks means a lot to an employee if they accomplish something.
So we basically should not do like the survivor style of management, you know, where people get voted off the island.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. I think it's a, what is it, positive reinforcement always works the best, you know, not the negative reinforcement. You want
to, you know what?
Really encourage your employees.
Simply smiling. You know, when you smile at someone, that literally increases their dopamine level involuntarily.
You know what? I think that's why your new manager at Chester's is so good. He is always smiling.
Yeah,
every time I talk to him, I feel a little, I'm like a little bit happier.
I haven't needed any cocaine or anything to pick me up for like weeks.
Fair enough.
So, you know, his smile is radiant enough.
Yeah, it's it lights up the room. So. Yeah. And then finally, our last kind of portion of this is what to do when burnout actually happens. So no matter what, burnout's still going to happen, no matter how many mitigation factors you put in. So what do you do? Well, the first thing is you have to give your employees time to recover. Give them a day or two off to decompress. Encourage them to use PTO or just offer a day or an afternoon off if they need it. I guarantee you, your employees that are rested and recovered will work harder and more efficiently when they come back. If you can't give them time off or it's just not possible during this time, try to adjust their workload. you know, temporarily give them at least a mental break. So lighter shifts, reassign intense tasks, whatever you can do to just give them a little bit of breathing room until they get through the hard part and you can give them a day off. Recognize and validate. We talked about that. Acknowledge that they're experiencing some burnout. Normalize it. You know, it's not weak to be burnt out after, you know, 12, 60-hour weeks. Listen to what they say without judgment and just kind of hear them out, again, creating that open dialogue. Next thing you can do is increase their control and autonomy as best as possible. 2-Second Lean talks about that a lot. You know, give them more control over their schedule, over their tasks. Even if they're doing the same amount of work, if an employee feels like they have more autonomy, they'll do better. They'll have less burnout. Check in regularly until they're kind of back to normal. Don't micromanage, but, you know, ask questions to open that dialogue. Offer resources if they want them. Again, it is not weakness to need mental health support, breaks, water, quiet areas, whatever they might need to get their stuff going. We just talked about Zappos have those pods for people to, you know, go have a relaxing moment so they don't lose their mind. And then address the root cause and try to mitigate as best as possible. Use kind of those techniques we discussed before. So that's kind of the gig on burnout, you know, how to identify, recognize.
I find that as a business owner, you know, it's cliche kind of, but it's true. You wear a lot of hats, and one of those hats is to be kind of a psychologist, you know, and you got to, you know, it burnout comes from so many different places, including like just conflict between employees, you know, when people dread coming into work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to have a good, harmonious workplace, you have to be watching out for these things, or you have to have someone that is.
100%. 100%. And I think my biggest takeaway from this entire episode is just open the dialogue. Get your employees talking. Get feedback. Make sure that they know it's an okay thing to say, hey, I'm burnt out. I need a break, or I need something different.
Yeah, I agree.
Any final thoughts?
No, it's this one's a little bit of a tough one, you know, to just keep the peace in the workplace and make sure that everybody's getting what they need. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, it's difficult as an owner to figure out that someone is burnt out rather than just being a slacker.
Right. Yeah, it can be tough. It can be tough to know the difference. And like you said, you kind of have to be a little bit of a therapist talking to people. That's why you got to open that dialogue.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the end of this episode. Check us out at turtlesmith.com and all of our socials at turtlesmithok, and check out our other episodes.
All right, we'll see y'all next time.
This is always annoying to ask, but if you're liking this content, please like and subscribe. It's the best way for us to get more followers and more people engaged in this great business content. You can also follow us on all socials at TurtlesmithOK and find us at turtlesmith.com.